Hello there. Welcome to the Galvanize and Restore podcast. I am so happy to be hosting. My name is Jessica Concepcion. I am here to bring some awareness into the church atmospheres in regards to human trafficking. I know in church we learn about so many different things that benefit us, but this is a podcast about how you can impact the world around you. So the question today is, should you go watch Sound of Freedom? I know you might have heard of Sound of Freedom, and I encourage you right now to go watch the preview. Sound of Freedom is a phenomenal movie right now, based off of a true story of Tim Ballard. Now, right now, he has a special place in my heart because of all the amazing work he's doing, all the amazing work he has done, and the faith that he took to step out of his normal day-to-day job to go do something extraordinary. I am such a fan right now of this man and his organization and every single person connected to him. But mainly what I love about this person is that he's emotionally invested in the movement to end human trafficking. And this movie is just an example of the efforts that it takes to rescue one child, to rescue and to put forth a life before ourselves, like that is more than us. So today I just want to talk about really briefly the movie Sound of Freedom, and I'm going to give my opinion just on how it was filmed, and also just some background information. So first and foremost, I saw the movie, it was 4th of July, so just over a week ago. And I actually ended up seeing it three times, just because the first time I saw it with a friend, it was the 4th of July. And then the second time, I ended up seeing it actually a day or two later because I wanted to bring my mom. I was like, she would love this film. It was so impactful for me that I just wanted to make her see it because I knew she would be moved and just have a better understanding of what's happening right now with human trafficking. And then the second time I got to see it was when a friend of mine came to visit me over a weekend, and we both saw it with my sister. And so that was moving too, because we all cried, you know, we all had our emotional moment, we all had our moments of anger as well. So if Sound of Freedom, if you haven't heard, is a movie that talks about child sex trafficking, and it brings awareness into what it is and how it can happen. So the movie's filmed is real life. It's based off of stories of children who were rescued, and the most tender scenes are actually based off of real life. There are some of my favorite parts in the film. One of them has to do with a necklace. The other one has to do with an island. And I would say the third has to do with a forest. And this movie keeps you on edge. The first time you see it, the second time, the third time, you're still just amazed by just the variables that happen, everything that takes place. And when I first was watching the movie, see, the reason I'm excited right now is because this issue that is so dark was able to be made into a film that shows you all those darkness, but at the same time highlights the power of people coming together to make a difference. And when I was first exposed to it, like the movie, I was actually halfway through the film, you know, you're just like, this is not real. I can't believe this really happened. I can't believe this happened. And by the end of the film, you're just still there crying and thinking like, how is this real? And then they have a little surprise at the end where it shows some of the real scenes of the operation that happened in real life. So that was really just sets the tone of the reality of what happened. And another part of the movie is that this movie is so impactful because it really does highlight as I said, Tim Ballard, it highlights other people, but just the reality of the heroes out there who are actually doing really good work, hard work. Hard work in dark spaces. Tim Ballard has his own podcast where he discusses the truths of the film and also some of the parts that were changed just to protect the children's stories. And I actually heard in his podcast there might be a Sound of Freedom part 2, which is most likely might start filming in later this year, which was really cool. I guess they were just waiting to see how this film did, and then they might do another film. And the second film is about Tim Ballard's children, some of his children, and I'm not 100% sure. They didn't really talk about what it was going to be about specifically, but they're going to talk about, I know he said it involves two of his kids, which I thought was really interesting. So, Sound of Freedom, as I said, I saw it 3 times. All 3 times, I was all emotional, just stuck in the movie and just moved to tears. And also, it's not just a movie to do that. It's to really show the different aspects of what actually happens when a child's trafficked, what the traffickers think, what the buyers think, and how their attitudes are in real life. And this movie, as I said, it's PG-13, so this movie just shows a little aspect of the actual reality that these kids are going through. And so I wanted to give a Bible verse that reflects the production team, right? That reflects the heart behind Sound of Freedom. And I believe it's James 2:18. It says, "Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." So when I'm talking to the church, I do believe that we are all about freedom. We are all about setting people free from sin, setting people free from bad habits, setting people free to live a life that is of joy, of peace and kindness. And we want all these good things. Jesus said he came to set the captives free. He came to that we may overflow with life, and that's what we're called to. And so when we go to church, you know, the pastor's preaching to the congregation and everyone's just listening because they want to receive a good word. You want to leave full, you want to leave inspired, you want to leave with hope. And so it's all about freedom. We're being called with a purpose, and I think a big part of that is taking action and actually saying, hey, this is my faith, and therefore, because I believe this, I take action and I do this. And so I think that mercy, compassion, all these things can be put into action. And you might be even thinking about different ways that you might put your faith into action. It might be asking a friend if they need prayer for anything. It might be sending a Bible verse to someone. It might be supporting children who have been trafficked through nonprofits, like supporting them financially, $20, $5, $10, $100, $1,000, whatever is in your reach. The reason this podcast is also made is because I want to be able to give tangible reasons to do something, right? Tangible ways of how to impact the anti-trafficking movement, how to be a part of it, what can you actually do? Because I do believe that faith does mean action. We are meant to go and make a difference, to be a light and the salt in this world. So Sound of Freedom really does show that you need faith and you need to take action. In one part of the movie, which is actually shown in the preview, so I'm not giving anything away, but someone asks the main character, like, why are you doing this? And he says, because God's children are not for sale. And that to me is representative of James 2. He believes something. He's thinking about it. He's in it. You know, he's like, man, this is what I've been doing. This is what I, you know, he's emotionally present. But he's not sitting at home like, oh, well, I don't know, I can't do anything about it. He's like, no, I'm going to such and such country, I'm gonna go rescue these kids. And he's actually, and they ask him, like, why are you doing this? Like, because he's putting himself in danger to be able to do this. So it's like, why are you doing this? And he says, because God's children are not for sale. And so we see in the movie how faith, it equals taking action. And the faith here is mainly that they can do something about this, that this is not something that is impossible to defeat. And I think in the grand scheme, human trafficking is huge. It's an issue that it's not going to be solved by one person. It's not going to be solved by one organization. It takes everyone. And I think the church has a lot of opportunity here to be able to really impact the world of human trafficking, because we as the body of Christ have so much more to offer than just a shelter, than just food, than just clothing. Even though that is what James 2:18 talks about. In James 2, it talks about how if you see someone naked and you go to them and say, oh, well, I hope your day goes well, and then you keep walking, that's not really faith and action. In that moment, your faith would be, hey, I'm going to actually give this person a piece of my clothing, or like, I'm going to clothe them, I'm going to give them food, I'm going to help them out. And that's where you see that faith and action coming into each other. And so with the church community, we have so much more to offer because we have that spiritual nurturing side as well, where we can nurture the soul through our faith in Christ, which means we turn away from hopelessness, we turn away from believing lies from the enemy that there is no hope. You know, we turn away and we're like, no, you know, we can make a difference in this thing. And even if it takes our whole life, even if it takes years or even if it takes decades, you know, we're going to see a change. And we're not going to be consumed by the darkness, but we're going to let our light shine so that darkness can't stay, you know. And so I love this film, Sound of Freedom. And then I do believe Sound of Freedom is really taking a stand right now. You know, movies, if you go on Netflix, a lot of movies are to entertain us. And they are, some of them, I'm not going to lie, like there are some movies that I get so impacted by, I'm moved by, that tell real stories. And those are the movies that really change your outlook on how you look at other people and how you look at society. And Sound of Freedom, I feel, is one of those movies that it just is, it's in your face. You can know, after seeing it, you can no longer deny that this is a real issue. I was talking to my sister as we went for a walk with our dog, and I was mentioning to her, like, what do you think about Sound of Freedom? What would you say to someone on why they should go see it? And she was just saying, well, you know, that movie really illustrates how easy it is for a child to be trafficked, and how you can't really, you know, you have to make sure you know who you're trusting with your children. Because in the movie, I don't want to give any spoilers, so I won't say exactly what happens, but basically the movie really shows how easy it is for a parent to be deceived and hand over their child so easily to traffickers. And in another episode, we could probably talk about how to identify a trafficker. All right, and then just in closing, I wanted to give some more information about child sex trafficking and why it happens, or what are some of the signs, physical indicators, behavioral indicators that a child might be trafficked. So I printed this form from National Center for Missing and Exploited Children in the U.S. It's from missingkids.org. So it's saying what to look for. And it reads, child sex trafficking victims often are unable to self-identify as victims or disclose their abuse because of fear, shame, or loyalty to their abusers. It is not a child's responsibility to ask for help. It is up to the professionals and trusted adults in these children's lives to recognize the signs associated with child sex trafficking so they can intervene and help them get the support they deserve. So these are red flags and indicators. They shouldn't be a checklist or an assessment to. Rather, it is to be observed as an opportunity to ask more questions. And then if you do feel like you have a child in front of you, a teenager, and this can be a child as young as 4, as old as 17, if you want to give a tip, you can go to cybertipline.org, and that's cybertipline.org, and it's 1-800-THE-LOST if you want to call it in. So it's 1-800-THE-LOST. So 1-800-843-5678. So I'm just going to list off some of the indicators that a child might be involved with sex trafficking, and this is for specifically United States. So physical indicators might include signs of sexual or physical abuse, symptoms of neglect such as malnutrition, unaddressed or chronic medical, dental issues, or STIs, close association with an overly controlling adult, recovered at hostels, street tracks, truck stops, or strip clubs, or other locations where trafficking or commercial sex is known to occur. The child has secret cell phones or apps providing multiple cell phone numbers. The child's in possession of material goods inconsistent to the child's access to money or socioeconomic status. The child is in possession of bulk sexual paraphernalia, such as bulk condoms or lubricant. The child is living out of a suitcase at motels or in a car or other evidence of housing insecurity. The child has unexplained access to large amounts of cash, prepaid credit cards, or hotel keys. And remember, these are physical indicators of the potential that a child might be involved in sex trafficking, and the opportunity, if you witness this, to ask some questions. The child might have tattoos or branding, such as those indicating money, matching those of other known trafficking victims, or that the child is reluctant to explain. The child references traveling to other cities or states while missing, or lack of knowledge of their current whereabouts. The child has a drug dependency or frequent abuse of party drugs such as GHB, Rohypnol, Ketamine, MDMA, which is also known as ecstasy, and a few others. So some indicators of behavior that a child might be involved in sex trafficking is chronic runaways from home, especially if they've had 3+ missing incidents, unexplained absences from school, constantly sleeping during class. I know that one can seem a little bit strange, but it can be an indicator that something is going on if this child is not getting enough sleep at home. They might be working throughout the night. Their trafficker might be exploiting them, and they're still being able to get dropped off at school, but it doesn't mean that they're not actually going through something. The child stops engaging in activities they previously enjoyed, such as athletics or clubs. And I love this one because children who are A students, B students, C students, whatever grade they have in class, can be involved in sex trafficking. It can be something that impacts any child, regardless of how smart they are, because as a child, you might be vulnerable to the influence of an older adult, to be to be used and abused. And so this can affect anybody. It doesn't matter if they're a straight A student. There's been many cases and testimonies that you might be able to find on YouTube that just share the stories of different women who, now they're women, but they were trafficked in their teenage years, and they talk about how they grew up in a normal household and they met someone who changed their life because that person dragged them into sex trafficking, and how they couldn't escape, and just the vulnerabilities that they had that the trafficker was able to exploit. So even looking out for whether there's a change in the person's hobbies and activities is also a sign that they could be trafficked. And then other signs is abruptly disconnects from family and friends. So that can mean if a child just goes missing, or a child just completely says, hey, I'm leaving, and just completely abandons their family and friends. Significant changes in behavior, including their online activity, avoids answering questions, or lets other people speak for them. So in a healthcare setting, for example, if a child, let's say 16 years old, is in the ER for a check, and when you go to the ER, there's so many people who are checking on you and asking questions. How are you feeling? What's wrong? What's going on? And just asking questions in regards to maybe even like, are you having sex right now? Things like this. If that person is not able to answer the questions, and the person next to them, whether it's a man or a woman, is answering the questions for them, that is a big sign that child might be under their control, which means it would be best in that situation for the child to be separated from them in order to be able to answer the questions and possibly be rescued from the hands of their traffickers. If you're able to see the signs in the medical field of someone who is not free to speak and not in their right mind, then it can be really helpful and it can change a life. Other behavior, just to finish, is appears frightened, annoyed, resistant, or belligerent to authority figures. This one is really interesting because sometimes the child, as I said before, it is not the child's responsibility to ask for help. Many times the child is experiencing fear, shame, or loyalty to their abusers because the abuser has worked their hardest to get this child under their control, and they have told them many lies, saying, because you did this, because you did that, now no one loves you except me, and no one's gonna believe you. If you go to the police, they're the bad guys. They're gonna lock you up in jail. You did prostitution, that means you deserve to be in prison. Whatever lies that they're gonna be able to pollute the child with, is they're gonna try. And typically they exploit the child's emotional side by saying things like, oh, I love you, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me, I want you in my life forever, just things that make them stay and overlook abuse. And I have to say, you know, when you're a teenager, you're in life for the first time. You're just learning about relationships. You're learning about friendships. You're learning about who's safe, who's not safe. And so when it comes to the grooming stage, that the traffickers spend a lot of time grooming and forming a relationship with a child in order to gain their trust, in order to make sure that they're the most important person in that child's life. And so many times with that, traffickers know that if they get caught, they can go to prison, or they can, you know, they're gonna have to face the consequence of their decisions, whether it's a court case or time in jail. And so when they're talking to these 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 13, 14, 15, 16, they are polluting them with lies about the authority figures in their life, the authority figures in the law. And so when let's say someone, an authority figure such as a police officer, walks up to this child, and the child is resistant or belligerent, and they don't want to talk to them, they refuse to talk to the police, things like this, that can be a sign that, you know, that's a possible, depending on the circumstances, but this is a part of understanding the dynamics of what happens to a victim and how they're trained basically to resist authority and to really believe that the police will be against them. All right, so moving along, other behaviors is reluctant to disclose true identity or personal information and or has a secret online profile. References to online escort ads or dating websites and apps. And then the child might also use languages or emojis often associated with prostitution, such as trick, the life, or the game, which are common vocabulary used in the underground world of prostitution. And I don't know if you know this, but prostitution is illegal in the United States, and yet it is happening in all the states. And that can be because there are strip clubs that allow it to happen. There are hotels, motels, private properties where escorts are being sold and prostituted. So this is an issue that is prevalent and it's underground. It's something we don't see every day when we're going to the grocery store, we're going on vacation to the Keys or to Orlando or to New York, California, LA. We're not seeing that these things as we're walking around, because sometimes they're happening behind the scenes. But I can assure you that the police may know what's happening. The FBI, CIA, they have units just specifically made for child sex trafficking, because they know that it's happening and it's a crime and they have to rescue these children. So I wanted to end with that, just some of the indicators, and also let you know about Operation Underground Railroad. So as we talked about, James 2, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I want you to have access to real organizations that are working right now. And I just want to give a shout out to Operation Underground Railroad. So they have really cute t-shirts that are available. So when you, if you buy a t-shirt or one of their hats, they also do have jewelry that they have on sale there. All that. One, you get a product that lets other people know that you're advocating against sex trafficking, but also that money goes towards their operations, which is rescuing children all around the world. Another organization that I really love is A21, and we can talk about that one in another episode, but A21 has the ability to, if you go to a21.org, they are actually giving people the opportunity to write to the survivors. If you want to write a letter, and if you want to just encourage someone who has just left a sex trafficking situation or a labor trafficking situation, A21 gives you that ability. And I will put it in the show notes where you can send your letters. And I really encourage you, even right now, after you listen to this podcast, to take 5 minutes to just reflect on all of this information. I know it is a lot, but take time to reflect and to write your thoughts on the issue. Take 10-15 minutes to just write out why human trafficking is so important to get involved in. What are some ideas that you can think of that might change the world as we know it? And also take another 10 minutes to just write to a survivor of sex trafficking. What would you say to her? What would you say to him? What's something that you would want someone to say to you if you were trapped and being raped multiple times a day and then you're rescued and put in a safe house. Now you're able to recover, you're free, you're able to dance, you're able to laugh again, you're able to quiet your soul and get therapy now and be redeemed, rescued, and not feeling like you're gonna be trapped in that world forever, in that brothel. So what would you say to this child? What would you say to this girl? What would you say to this man? What would you say to encourage their hearts? And I leave you with that. Take some time for yourself as well. Get some tea, get some coffee, wherever you are. If you're starting your day, ending your day, I hope you're having a good time. All right, take care. Love you.